So we've been talking this hour about how to make sense of the kind of online harassment that is routinely directed toward women, especially women who have something to say. But, you know, when has that not been the case? For instance, Siri Hustvedt is a novelist who also writes scientific papers about the brain. She's 62 years old. She's not active on Twitter, but she has plenty of experience being demeaned in public, including on stage, as a keynote speaker, and even while getting an honorary doctorate. She told Steve Paulson that she feels a lot of empathy for young women who are trying to develop their voices on new and noisy platforms, while at the same time having to cope with old-fashioned, garden-variety misogyny and sexism.
I've been at this for a very long time, and I have come to be able to better recognize when what is happening has very little to do with me. In other words, it has to do with the fact that I'm a woman. And yes, it happens with a certain regularity. People are offended by a woman who assumes her authority.
So you're saying that among writers, women are often perceived differently than men, than male writers?
In every, give me a field, you know, give me a discipline. And I would say that especially if the discipline involves what are often thought to be masculine traits. So, for example, the mind, the intellect has long been associated with masculinity, the body and emotion long with femininity. And if you are crossing that line, the chances of being punished are very strong.
Yeah. Now, the other thing that the internet offers is the chance for empathy, you know, seeing the world through another person's eyes, you know, learning to see the world from another point of view. And I guess I'm wondering, I know you've written about that in the arts, in painting, whether that might play out any differently on the internet as well.
Well, I think what's different about the internet is the possibility of so much back and forth. And if you think about this as a good thing, you know, it's a dialogical place. It's a place where, for example, if you want to contact a researcher, there's an email there often at the end of a paper, for example. This allows interested parties to have exciting dialogues that one wouldn't have had in the library when I was, say, a PhD student 30-something years ago. I was there with my books having an internal dialogue, but no one answered me back. So I think that's a beautiful quality that the internet has.
Well, and following up on this notion of the back and forth the online world offers, I mean, you know, with social media sites in particular, I mean, you've written about the idea of mixing, of how our
yes.
sense of self is actually, it's not just sort of something that we have ourselves. I mean, it's sort of created in relation to other people.
Yes, I think this is very important. It's a philosophical point. It's one I deeply accept, and that is that we are not made alone. We are not self-created human beings, right? We're all born out of the body of a woman. We all need to be taken care of as infants or we will die. And that very slow human development, it is extremely slow. As mammals, you know, we don't walk for a year. Think of it, most of us. So that engagement with other people, it is part of brain development. It is part of all physiological development. I'm not trying to argue that, you know, there's no separation. There's no difference between one person and another. But I think it's essential that we understand that nobody creates him or herself.
Mm-hmm. So you come at these questions from an interesting perspective because, you know, you're a novelist, you're a critic, you write a lot about the mind, and you sort of bring together the arts, the humanities, the sciences. And I guess I'm wondering if, as we talk about sort of these problems of abuse online, whether if we could sort of bring in a perspective from the humanities, if that can offer something that we're missing right now in these conversations.
Well, I remember when actually my daughter was harassed in junior high school. And this was early online stuff. But this person, this young girl, had signed her name. And I talked to her parents, but I also talked to her on the phone. And I said, you know, if you can remember that the other person has an inner life that is as large and complicated as your own, I don't think you will attack that other person in the way that you've done. And, you know, she listened to me. I have no idea if the message came home. But I think that is something that the humanities offer. You mentioned earlier the internet as a forum for empathy. I think that reading literature is a forum for empathy because that is a place where we can have experiences that we would not have in ordinary life. In fact, we can have experiences that we would shy away from in ordinary life. So a book that was very important to me when I was young, Crime and Punishment, is about a young student full of ideas who kills an old woman. Now, someone like that, I would run screaming from in real life.
But it's fascinating to read about that person.
Well,
yes.
Raskolnikov in the Hands of Dostoevsky is, you know, a deep human experience, but it is a safe experience because we know Raskolnikov is not going to jump out of the book. And so we can enter into dangerous human terrain safely. I call it the aesthetic frame. And that, I really believe, is a way of extending one's consciousness, of making oneself a larger human being.
Siri Husbett is a novelist and critic. Her latest book is an essay collection called A Woman Looking at Men Looking at Women. She talked with Steve Paulson. That's it for this hour, but there's more in our podcast feed. To subscribe, look us up on iTunes or your podcast app of choice. And if you enjoy the show, make sure you recommend it to a friend. To the Best of Our Knowledge comes to you from Madison, Wisconsin, and the studios of Wisconsin Public Radio. Mark Rickers produced this hour with help from Doug Gordon, Charles Monroe Kane, Raymond Tungekar, and Steve Gotcher. Our theme music is by Steve Mullen from Walk West Music. Joe Hartke is our technical director. Steve Paulson is our executive producer. And I'm Ann Strangehamps. Until next time.
PRI, Public Radio International.